So today we are very, very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji with us. And we are continuing to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 23. And today Mataji will be covering the important aspects of Prema Bhakti. And we are very, very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji with us. Mataji, you can now take over the call. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your most valuable association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Titi Lakshmi Mataji, and thank you, everybody who is on the call.
Okay, I think Mataji's phone got dropped off. So we'll wait for her to log in.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
So sorry, I got disconnected.
No. Yeah. No problem.
So we'll start, but before we'll start, you know, today myself is getting really nervous because this is a really very esoteric subject matter. And, you know, this is all about Prema Bhakti. And still struggling on anartha nivritti. So person and conditioned soul like me is talking about the high aspects of prema bhakti. You know, it's really hard to comprehend. So just seek all of your blessings, all of your prayers, all of your wishes, so that I may speak something relevant. And as per the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, I should not deviate while rendering the message. And again, you know, just want to make a point that I'll simply repeating like a parrot, rather reading, you know, simply reading. There will be not a single word which will be out of my interpretation. Everything will be by our Acharya, by Srila Prabhupada, by Rupa Goswami. So everything will be as per, you know, given by all of them. I have no realization on this. So don't know how I'll be able to handle any question, but still, if it is there, then, you know, to the best of the capability, we can answer later on. So we'll start now. Let's seek auspiciousness by reciting Mangalacharan. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalkatari Vacha, Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namo. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So, life's ultimate goal, Sanatan Shiksha. The instructions given to Srila Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have covered quite a few verses, but just to want to give a recap and want to go dive deep into each and every subject matter. Again, as per, I'll be referring quite a few books, Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami and of course by Srila Prabhupada. Then Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami, and Madhurya Kadamani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And of course, our beautiful Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So these are the four books that, you know, I'll be referring to. And I'll be flipping pages from here and there. Kindly bear with me. So, okay, what we covered is that how one come on to the level of prema. You know, what are the different ways? We did it last time. That prema, the prema bhakti, of course, from the nine processes, right? From Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, you know, we come on to the level of prema. But after prema, it doesn't stop, right? And we move forward. That we read about how Srila Rupa Goswami in Ujjvala Neelamani mentions that there are further levels of prema, how it further increases, and those divisions are sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, nuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. So we did it, you know, but now we'll continue with that. So first, I will refer with text number 48. So Preeti Vilasini Mataji has kindly agreed, and she'll be showing those texts on, internet, right? So those who have joined can just see on YouTube as well that all those texts that we are going to refer from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there are five components of rasa. Rasa, the eternal affection, right? And the four types of emotional experience that intensify that affection. So first, we'll refer with text number 48, what it says. Vibhava anubhava sattvika vyabhachari sthai bhava rasa haya eichari mili. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, you know, Prabhupada is basically translating these words, these esoteric words, into English language. But remember, this is, you know, he translated so that all those who know English can at least relish some part of it. But otherwise, the Sanskrit itself has, you know, has so much meaning. So he translates as vibhava, as special ecstasy, then anubhava as subordinate ecstasy, then sattvika bhava as natural ecstasy, and vyabhachari as transitory ecstasy. So he's saying all these four, chari mile, all these four together, right? They intensify one's affection towards Krishna, and then one formally comes on the platform of sthayi bhava. That is permanent ecstasy. So this we have to understand. So the sthai bhava is the eternal permanent bhava, permanent ecstasy. But to come on to the level of that sthai bhava, we need all other four. Chari mile, all other four. And what are those? Vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, and vyabhachari. So these are the four bhavas. Now first we'll see what is, you know, the first component of that rasa is vibhava. What is vibhava? Prabhupada translates it as special ecstasy. Now what actually vibhava is as per Srila Rupa Goswami? So in Nectar of Devotion he says that vibhava is that which stimulates our eternal affection for Krishna. So this is just acting as a catalyst. It stimulates, as a stimulator, it stimulates our affection for Krishna. And take us to the point, heightening it to the point of relishable intensity, so that we can relish that rasa with Krishna. This vibhava is a catalyst, is a stimulator. It stimulates our eternal affection for Krishna and takes us to the highest level where we can relish that intensity with Krishna. Rupa Goswami, actually Srila Prabhupada defines in Nectar of Devotion, vibhava, as a cause of ecstasy. Okay? So this is the cause, because of which we are in ecstasy. A jiva can be in ecstasy. So this stimulates one's affection to Krishna. Example Rupa Goswami gives of a mother. We know that how a mother is a constant, she is in a constant affection of the child. But sometimes, you know what happened, because she is involved either in a 9-to-5 job, or she is involved in some household chores, or in some temple work, maybe in whatever, you know. So the child, the thought of the child doesn't go permanently from her mind, but it remains somewhere in the background of her thoughts, right? Because externally, now the mother is doing something different, right? So the thought of a child remains at the background. It doesn't disappear altogether. It remains, but it remains at the background. But the moment the mother sees either the face of a child or some things of a child, some toys, some books, some clothes, anything which is related to the child, the moment the mother sees, her love intensifies, her love grows. That stimulates that thing or the face of the child or shoes of a child or the books of a child, toys of a child. This is what, you know, is vibhava that stimulates her affection towards her child. Right? This is what happened in when a jiva is in love with Krishna. Now vibhava has two subdivisions to it, and this is also described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that what are two things. But we'll come on to the verse later. So Vibhava has two subdivisions, and that is described in text number 50 actually. Right? So 50 says, Dvidha Vibhava Alamba Udipana Vamsi Sarvadi Udipana Krishnadi Alambana. That there are two kinds of particular ecstasies of Vibhava. One is called the support and the other is called the awakening. The vibration of Krishna's flute is an example of awakening, and Lord Krishna himself is an example of the support. We'll try to understand what does it mean. So it has two divisions. One is the Alambana and the second is Udipana. Now Alambana is a basic, okay, and Udipana means impelling. Now first we'll go for Vibhava Alambana, right? It has, Vibhava has two categories, right? Alambana and Udipana. So first we'll see what is Vibhava Alambana. So this Alambana means basic. What happens in this is that the two subjects are involved and both of them relish the taste of Krishna's affection. Like for, it has two things, like Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We know that Krishna's devotees enjoy the taste of affection towards Krishna. But it's not one-sided, it's both-sided. Even Krishna enjoys the taste of affection towards his devotees. That is what is Vibhava Alambana is. So this is actually Krishna acting as a Vishaya and Krishna's devotees as Ashraya. So where Krishna is the object of ecstatic love, and Ashraya, it means the shelter, that is Krishna's devotees, who basically are the shelter where that Krishna prem exists. Right? So Vishaya is the beloved and Ashraya is a lover. So this is what, you know, Rupa Goswami explains. Now in Vishaya Lambana, we know that how there are 64 qualities that Krishna possesses. Narayana, actually ordinary living entity, has only 50 qualities. And then Brahma possesses 50 in full. Ordinary living entity doesn't possess all 50 in the full form. They possess 50 in minute quantity. But Brahma possesses all those 50 qualities in full. Shiva possesses 55. Narayan possesses 60. But Krishna has four separate qualities. And what is that? Leela Madhurya means he has uniquely sweet pastimes. Then Prema Madhurya means uniquely sweet devotees. Then Vena Madhurya, that means he has uniquely sweet all attractive flute. And then Rupa Madhurya, uniquely sweet beauty that Krishna possesses. So this is the thing of alambana, vibhava alambana, where Krishna, there is an ashraya and there is a vishaya. So that is the difference, where vishaya means the object, where Krishna is the object of affection, and ashraya means shelter. Krishna's devotee is the shelter wherein this love of Godhead resides. So that is what is talked about, the vishaya, vibhava alambana. So now we also see that when we talk about ashraya, so ashraya is, you know, lover or Krishna's devotee, right? Now, who is on that level of ashraya, we'll see. So ashraya, then it's further divided into sadhaka and siddha, right? So we the sadhaka devotee, and of course those who are siddhas. But here, Rupa Goswami says, this sadhaka, he is not talking about an ordinary sadhaka who has just stepped into Krishna consciousness. This sadhaka is a living entity who is on the level of bhava bhakti level. That ashraya, because only that person, only that entity can hold that love of Godhead. Right? So this is talking about those sadhaka who are level on bhava bhakti level. And siddha, we know that there are two. One is samprapta siddha and nitya siddha. Samprapta siddha means those who have become perfect. And nitya siddha means those who are already, eternally they are perfect. Now samprapta siddha are also of two kinds. Those who are sadhaka siddha means sadhana siddha, those who have perfected, who have come on to the level of perfection by their practice, sadhana siddha. And the other is kripa siddha, those who have come on to the platform of perfection only by mercy. Right? So not to get confused, ashraya has two things, right? Sadhaka and siddha. Sadhaka, Rupa Goswami says, I'm talking about a person who is on the level of bhava bhakti, period. Next is comes the siddha. Siddha are also of two types. Samprapta siddha, those who have become perfect, and those who are eternally perfect, though that is nitya siddha. But those who have become perfect can also become perfect in two ways, through sadhana or through kripa. That's why they are known as sadhana siddha or kripa siddha. So then together, this ashraya and vishaya, they then together, when they both enjoy, intensify the love for each other, that is known as vibhava alambana. Now the second comes is udipana, that is impelling. Now vibhava udipana basically are the objects in which the affection is tasted. Now there may be many objects that impel Krishna and his devotees to relish the taste of affection. We know that Krishna's flute, Krishna's footprints, Krishna's prasadam, etc. So there are so many things that reminds one for Krishna's love. So vibhava udipana, as described by Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, is that love which develops when one sees an object and that reminds one of Krishna. That is the definition as it is given in Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. It is that love which develops when one sees an object and then one is reminded of Krishna. And that is what is known as udipana, vibhava udipana. Now here the question comes that Krishna's, there is basically no difference between Krishna himself and Krishna's object. Because when we say it's Krishna's flute, it's Krishna. It's non-different. Because Krishna is non-different from his object. Even when we chant his holy name, it's Krishna himself. When the deity of Krishna is this, then it's Krishna himself. If we honor Krishna's prasadam, it is said that we are honoring Krishna. right? That's why they said that when we honor prasadam, don't get up. Because that time you are associating with Krishna. So when things of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself, then why Srila Rupa Goswami has, you know, has made this category that one is Alambana as a whole and one is Uddipana. So to that, Nectar of Devotion gives that answer that yes, there is no difference between Krishna and his body and his mind and his thing. Definitely there is no difference. It's Krishna himself. But because other things like prasadam, footprints, flute, Krishna's ornaments, Krishna's dress, Krishna's bed, Krishna's shoes, all these stimulate the devotee's ecstatic love. That's why they have been analyzed into a different category. But otherwise, yes, there is no difference between Krishna and his belongings. They are one and the same. Right? So this is what we talk about, Vibhava. Now, we'll come on to the next part, that is Anubhava. Right? Remember, we talk about four things. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika and Vyabhachari, which four are required to come on to the level of Sthayi Bhava, which is permanent ecstasy. So now we'll talk about Anubhava. Now what is Anubhava? Anubhava, it's actually text number 51 says, Anubhava smritta nitya gitaadi ubhashvara sambhadi sattvika anubhavera bhitara. The translation says, the subordinate ecstasies are smiling, dancing and singing as well as different manifestations in the body. The natural ecstasies such as being stunned are considered among the subordinate ecstasies anubhava. While reading the translation, even I haven't understood a single thing. But glories to our Acharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, who has really explained extensively, you know, in his books and of course Srila Prabhupada in his purport. So I'll not read the whole purport, time doesn't permit, but yes, I'll summarize the whole purport because the different categories of this Anubhava is also mentioned in the purport. As and time allows, you can always go through this purport and you'll get to know what I'm talking about. So Anubhava, now Anubhava is an action. Okay, Vibhava was a stimulator because that stimulates one's affection. Now this is an action that results after having that heightened affection from Krishna. Right? So this is an action that results in when one has that affection with Krishna. So one performs some action, right? So that action when one performs is Anubhava. So one performs that action, which is Anubhava, and then again that performing that action, one's love gets more intensified. Okay? I'll repeat. This is an action. The action that is done because of that intensified love. We perform an action. Now this action is what is Anubhava. But this action is performed when one's in love for Krishna is intensified, but the same action also intensifies further the love of Krishna. Again, explained with a simple example that Srila Prabhupada gives, that the disciple and the spiritual master, the disciple has an ecstatic love, you know, towards his spiritual master. But as soon as he sees the spiritual master, his ecstatic love heightens to a degree. So what happened when he see the spiritual master, outwardly he offer obeisances by doing dandavat or panchang in case of Mataji. Right, we offer obeisances. Now offering obeisances is an action which is done because we love our spiritual master. We honor, we respect our spiritual master. So without giving a thought, we just bow down as soon as we see a spiritual master. But that doesn't stop there. After paying obeisances, it not only it expresses the affection that a disciple has, but also it further intensifies that affection towards spiritual master by just paying obeisances. So now this paying obeisances is an anubhava, is an action. So this I just gave an example. But we'll move forward with it, that what actually happens, that anubhava, Rupa Goswami says, is not merely a physical action, but it's an emotional feeling. Paying obeisances, you know, sometimes those who are very new and they come across of any sannyasi, and if, you know, some devotee is present, the devotee will tell the other person, no, he is a senior sannyasi and, you know, you should bow down. So the person may bow down. Now, that bowing down may not be categorized as anubhava because that's a mere action. But here, anubhava not only means just an action, but also means an emotion that is present there, emotional feeling which is there. Right? When one does with that emotional feeling and that love is developed in one's heart, that is what is anubhava. For this, you know, we have already read the translation of text number 51. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that there are two categories of anubhava. One is sita and the other is shetna. Now, what is sita? Sita means without having strong bodily movement. Right? So, I'll give Rupa Goswami gives examples. These are the actions which manifest without great bodily motion or movement. That is singing loudly, yawning, breathing heavily, neglecting somebody else's presence, foaming, swelling of the limbs. These are the anubhava, but it doesn't require a great bodily motion. Next is shepna, which is known as with strong bodily movement. For example, dancing, rolling on the ground, stretching of the body, crying loudly, laughing like a madman. Right? These are the some examples of kshepana anubhava. So I was giving an example of a disciple and a spiritual master. But, you know, just remember what we are reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita is of a prema bhakti. Right? That which, you know, all the gopis and Srimati Radharani has with Krishna. So keep that in mind. But just to explain it, I took an example. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami actually took example of a spiritual master and the disciple. So this is what the anubhava is. Vibhava was just a stimulator that helps us to stimulate our affection. Anubhava is an action. Now comes the sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhava is an involuntarily physical symptom that's been described of sattvika bhava. So actually, Rupa Goswami explains that externally if we see, then there is no difference between sattvika bhava and anubhava. They can be considered same. But the only difference is that when anubhava is there, it involves a conscious decision. Whereas in sattvika bhava, it is involuntarily expression, which arises directly from the spiritually charged consciousness. Now we'll see how is it. Because in anubhava, we also mentioned about dancing, rolling on the ground, tears. So Rupa Goswami Pad says that when a person dances in that anubhava stage of prema bhakti, because we have to understand that we are talking about a prema bhakti. Okay, in prema bhakti, when one is and one dances, that dancing can be a conscious decision that, okay, let me dance, right? That can be conscious decision. Or if one is crying, tears are coming out. Even that time, when the, no doubt, you know, sometimes in that love, tears may flow, but one, in anubhava stage, one becomes conscious that, yes, tears are flowing. So have two options, either let to flow or, you know, just wipe it off. But in sattvika bhava, in sattvika bhava, one is not even aware of what is happening to one's body. So this is, you know, an involuntarily action, you know, which is coming from this sattvika bhava. One doesn't even know that what is happening to one's body. And Rupa Goswami says about 8, you know, bodily symptoms of overwhelming emotion. That is Ashta Satvika Bhava. So I'll read out these Ashta Satvika Bhava because it will require in our further verses. So one, I'll just read the English one. I'll skip the, okay, I'll read both. Ashta Satvika Bhava, they are 8. Ashta means 8 and Satvika Bhava is overwhelming emotion. So first is Stamba, stunned. Shveda, perspiration. Third is Romancha, hair standing on end. Then fourth is Swarabheda, means faltering voice. Fifth is Kampa, which is trembling. Sixth is Vaivarnya, which is changing of one's color. Seventh is Ashru, that is tears. And eighth is Pralaya, that is devastation. Just remember, you know, you can always refer later, but these are known as Ashta Satvika Bhava. Because in later verses, I'll be just saying this verse, Ashta Satvika Bhava, but you all should know that what are those Ashta Satvika Bhava. So stunned, perspiration, hair standing on end, faltering voice, trembling, changing of sun's color, tears and devastation. These are the Ashta Satvika Bhava. So it is an involuntarily physical symptom. Now the fourth comes, Vyabhachari Bhava. Now this is extremely technical subject matter. And we'll see how we'll go with it. Okay, till now it was described in text number 51's purport about Shepna, Sita, and then what is Tamba and all the Ashtasatvika Bhava. It is all mentioned in the purport. Now, Vyabhachari Bhava is an emotional experience. We'll recap. Vibhava was a stimulator. Anubhava was an action. Satvika Bhava can be defined as an involuntary physical action. But Vyabhachari Bhava is an extremely technical thing, which is an emotional experience that results from the affection of Krishna. Right? Intensified love of Krishna. Because of that affection, one experiences some results. And then this doesn't stop. It doesn't stop here that one gets some emotional experience, but it further helps in intensify our love to Krishna. This is what Vyabhachari Bhava is. This is mentioned in text number 52. Let's read. Nirveda Harshadi Tishtadi Vibhachari Sabhe mili rasahaya chamatkari kari. That there are other ingredients beginning with the complete despondency and jubilation. Altogether, there are 33 varieties, and when these combine, the mellow becomes very wonderful. Now, I'll try to explain what is this Vyabhachari Bhava or what is this experience means, right? So, Rupa Goswami gives a transcendental example of this. That what is that emotional experience that one gets from that affection of Krishna, and then this experience further intensify our affection with Krishna. So the example is when Mother Yashoda, when she saw Krishna and wrapped in Kaliya's deadly coils, what happened? She got despondent. She got so much depressed. And drastically, what happened? She fainted. Right? So, what now this distress of Mother Yashoda is Vyabhachari Bhava. Because seeing, this is an experience that she is getting after seeing Krishna coiled up, you know, in Kaliya's deadly coils. When she saw that, this is an experience that happened that she got fainted. But this fainting of Mother Yashoda further intensified her motherly love for Krishna. So this is what Vyabhachari Bhava is. Right? So, okay, we read text 22. Now, Srila Gurupa Goswami actually lists 33 emotional experiences. As mentioned, you know, in purport also Prabhupada is saying that altogether there are 33 varieties. When these combine, the mellow becomes very wonderful. So I don't think so we have time, but later if we have time, just remind me, I can read out those 33 emotional experiences that is present in Vyabhachari Vibhava. Sorry, Vyabhachari Bhava. So, we talked of four. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhachari Bhava. But then the first verse 48, what we read, that Vechari Mile, when these all four combined, then one comes on to the level of permanent ecstasy, that is Sthayi Bhava. So, Rupa Goswami says that rasa, or this affection, consists of an interaction among all these five bhavas. When they all interact, that is what is, we call it as rasa, right? In Hindi, in Sanskrit, which is much more better, right? To understand, this is what the rasa is. Now, he gives an example of an ocean. So, what do we see in ocean is, that in ocean, we see that there is a sea water. Water is there in ocean, right? And some tides are there. Some winds are there, some waves are there in the ocean. So similarly, in this rasa, in this thai bhava, actually this rasa is compared to an ocean, okay? Now, all the elements that are, they are essential parts of the ocean. Without waves, the ocean seems incomplete. Without winds and tides, you know, there can be no waves. So, sea water is the only important element in the ocean, because this wave, this tide, this wind, they can only be possible if there is a water in the ocean. If there is no water in the ocean, ocean doesn't have its identity. So, this ocean is a rasa, is an affection that one can have with Krishna. But this Thai Bhava is actually the sea water, which is present in the ocean. But all others, that is Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhachari Bhava, they are the tides, winds, waves, you know, etc. that is there, that is present in the ocean. They are necessary, they are there, but the important and the essential ingredient is water, the sea water, which is known as the Sthayi Bhava. That is why this Sthayi Bhava is known as the king of all bhava. Now, this also has two varieties. One is the Mukhyarati and the other is the Gaunarati. So, Sthayi Bhava is of Mukhyarati, which is direct, and Gaunarati, which is indirect. So, we'll read CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, text 53. Panchavidhara sa Shanta Dasya Sakhya Vatsalya Madhurya Nama Shringara Rasa Sabase Pravalya. What it does it say is that Sthayi Bhava has two categories, Mukhyarati, and then it is known as Gaurarati, right? Gaunarati, Gaunarati actually. So Mukhyarati, we know that there are five eternal relationships one can have with Krishna: neutral, servitude, friendship, parental, and conjugal. And Gaunarati has like other seven secondary rasas, that is laughter, astonishment, chivalry, lamentation, anger, fear, and dread. So these are all seven secondary rasas. Now the primary rasas, that is being described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because remember, we have to come on to the prema level of Madhurya Bhava, right? So we are slowly and gradually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami and bringing, culminating into the point of Madhurya Bhava of prema mukti. Now, what happens in Mukhyarati? Mukhyarati, five, right? Dasyarati, Sakhyarati, Vatsalyarati, and Madhuryarati. So, what happens in Dasyarati, in servitorship? The essence of this rasa is a feeling of inferiority in relation to Krishna. There is a sense of dependence. A Dasya Bhav is there, a dependence is there on Krishna. In friendship, in Sakhyarati, what happens? The essence is a feeling of equality with the Lord. He is one of us. He is not different from us. So there is no kind of shyness is not there in this Rati, in this friendship, in this Sakhyarati. Parenthood, that is Vatsalyarati. The essence is that there is a sense of seniority, seniority of a protection, that yes, I have to protect Krishna. There is a there is a seniority or there is a superiority of protection towards Krishna. In this, Krishna becomes the object of devotee's mercy. Mother Yashoda thinks, if I'll not feed Krishna, Krishna is not going to have, you know, he'll starve. So that is what Vatsalya Rati is. And in conjugal, in Madhurya Rati is, that the characteristics that the Lord and the gopis, they exhibit in different ways, like glancing, sidelong glance, then moving the eyebrows, then speaking some sweet words, exchanging some emotions. This is what the conjugal Rati is. But point here to remember is that in each of these mellows, Sakya, Dasya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, in each of these five mellows, devotees experience different Vibhava, Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, and finally get fixed in their own Sthayi Bhava. Right? So this is the point that, you know, want to make, as Srila Prabhupada is making in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Rupa Goswami is making in Nectar of Devotion. That's why, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning about all this and coming on to the platform of Prema Bhakti. That yes, this all Mukhya Rati of Sthayi Bhava are these five kinds, but all of them have a different Vibhava, Anubhava, Satvika Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, and finally one get fixed in one's own Sthayi Bhava, that is either in Dasya Ras or in Sakya Ras or in Madhurya Ras or in Vatsalya Ras. Now one point to be made, that no doubt Madhurya Ras is the highest. How we can culminate this point is that imagine that there is a person who is sitting in his living room. Right? So that person is being served by some servant. Now the moment a friend enters, servant leave. Job of a servant is done. Because now the friend has come, so he wants to relish that friendship. Right? Now the person is sitting with a friend. Now what happens? That parents come in. As soon as the parent comes in, there is awe and reverence is there. Friend may be there for a few minutes, but then he will say, "Chalo, okay, bye, I'm leaving now," because, you know, parents are there, so you better enjoy with your parents. Now the same husband's beloved lover, you know, she comes in. Then what happens? Even parents leave that place. Okay, now you both enjoy, or you both talk to each other, and we leave. So this is how it is being mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Madhurya Rasa is the highest. But point here is to be made that this is not a hierarchy to be settled. Right? It's not that Dasya Rati is lower than Sakya Rati, is lower than Vatsalya Rati, is lower than Madhurya Rati. That is not the case. They both have their own Sthayi Bhavas, their own permanent ecstasy. But highest, you know, in other sense is Madhurya Rati, because in that, the ecstasy is actually to its extreme point. Right? That is what is being mentioned, and that has to be understood. It's not a hierarchy that if one is on the Dasya Ras, can come on to the Vatsalya Ras, can come on to the Sakya Ras. No, that is not. If one is fixed in that Sthayi Bhava, then one remains fixed. It's not a hierarchy. It's not that one is down, one is up. They all are in the equal level, but at the same time, everything culminates in the Madhurya Bhava, that is Madhurya Rati. Right? This is what I want to explain, which is mentioned in text number 53. I'll just read the translation, that there are five transcendental mellows: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love, which is also known as the mellow of sweetness. Conjugal love excels all the others. Though it excels all the others, but still the position of Jiva is fixed. Now, coming on to the verse that we did on Monday, that is text number 56. What does it say? That I'll just read the Sanskrit, translation, that there are two divisions of each of the five mellows. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about the Mukhya Rati. He left the Gauna Rati, right? Because I told you he wants to bring up to the point of Madhurya, of Prema Bhakti. So he left that and he says that the two divisions of each of the five mellows, the Mukhya Rati, is Yoga, connection, and Viyoga, separation. And among the mellows of friendship and parental affection, there are subdivisions of connection and separation. Now, what does it mean? Here it says that each of the five mellows, all the Mukhya Rati, they have Yoga, that is connection. Yoga means yuti, connection. And Ayoga or Viyoga, which is separation. Now, all these are in the mellow of, even in the friendship, even in the parental affection, and of course, there is there in the Madhurya Bhav, that is in Madhurya Rati, conjugal relation. So just, try to explain what is yoga, what is Viyoga. Though we know, by English, we understand that yoga is connection and Viyoga is separation. But just want to bring up this point that how this yoga and viyoga is there in friendship, in Sakyarati also. So we all know that pastime of Krishna, that how Krishna goes to herd the cows with all the cowherd boys, right? So during the daytime, all the cowherd boys along with Krishna, they go to graze with cows and calves. Now, this is the daytime. Now, the daytime, all the gopis, they go to Surya Kund and they pray to Surya Dev, can you please set early today, at least 1 hour early, so that Krishna can come back home early and we get chance to meet with Krishna early. Because they get chance to meet Krishna only during the night time when Krishna is playing his flute and gopis are attracted and all the gopis come and they have their appetite. So they are praying to Surya Dev, can we set early today so that night comes early and we get a chance to meet Krishna. On the other hand, during the night time, all the cowherd boys, they are praying to moon and that can you set early today so that we can sun can come and we can meet our Kanha, we can meet Krishna. So this is what though it's just a moment, it's just half a day, but that relationship has this connection and separation. The daytime cowherd boys are having yoga with Krishna, but at the same time in the night time they have viyoga or ayoga or a separation from Krishna. And on the other hand, the gopis, they have separation of Krishna during the daytime, and they have a connection with Krishna during night time. So this is just, try to explain. Now, first we'll read about yoga. Oh, sorry, ayoga or viyoga, what it is. Now, in the purport of 56, again, you can read on your own, it's been described that there are two divisions to it. One is longing and the other is separation. That is two times of ayoga. So longing means utkantita. That is the Sanskrit meaning of longing, utkantita. And separation means viyoga. Now there is a longing to see Krishna for the first time. That is what is utkantita. Means one has never seen Krishna, but there is a longing, there is a strong desire to see Krishna at least once for the first time. So here, Nectar of Devotion gives an example of Akrura. How from Mathura, when he was being sent by Kamsa to go and get Krishna Balaram from Vrindavan, he went and he has that longing to see Krishna for the first time. That is what is the example of utkantita. Right? And the second is separation, which is viyoga. Now here there is a feeling of Lord's absence after having previously his association. That example we gave of cowherd boys. That how cowherd boys, they meet Krishna daily, right? But at the night, they feel the absence of Lord. There is a viyoga in that relationship. And thus they are praying to moon, that can you please set early 1 hour early today so that sun can come and finally we can meet Krishna. So they already have that association, previously had association, but now there is a sense of separation, and thus, you know, this is known as Viyoga. That is what is a yoga. A yoga, two types, Utkantita and Viyoga. Longing to meet Krishna for the first time, and the next is the separation, that is the feeling of Lord's absence after having previously the Lord's association. Now comes yoga. What is yoga? Yoga or connection, one can meet in three ways. First is Siddhi, next is Pushti, and third is Stiti. This is also mentioned in the purport. Okay, we can read it after, you know, whenever you feel. So Siddhi means successful, Pushti means satisfaction, and Stiti means permanence or steadiness. Now we'll try to give an example of all these three, what it is, as per Srila Rupa Goswami in Ujjwala Nilamani. Just give me a second, I have to flip pages. Okay, so what is Siddhi? Now, Siddhi, in Utkantita, where one wants to meet Krishna for the first time, longs to meet Krishna. And when one finally meets Krishna, that is what is Siddhi. Siddhi means successful. Oh, I am successful. Again, example is given of Akrura. Akrura was longing to see Krishna, but as soon as he saw Krishna, that Viyoga, that Ayoga becomes Yoga in form of Siddhi. Successfulness. Oh, I got successful. And finally, I got to see my Lord Krishna. Next is Tushti. Tushti is when we saw that in the yoga, the devotee suffers from Krishna's absence. But when the Lord finally returns, the devotee experiences that Tushti, which means satisfaction. How the cowherd boys, after praying to moon, that can you set 1 hour early? And finally the sun comes and they finally get to meet Krishna, see Krishna. At that time, that yoga converts into yoga in a form of satisfaction. That is tushti, right? And sthiti, that is the third type of connection, that is of yoga, is occur when the meeting of Krishna is steady and constant. It doesn't have any kind of separation. Now this, for this, you know, Rupa Goswami illustrates in his book Hamsaduta. There is a pastime, and I'll simply read to explain this meaning of sthiti, which is steady meeting, you know. So in his book Hamsaduta, Rupa Goswami writes that once what happened, Srimati Radharani, she feels intense separation from Krishna. And because of that, she comes onto the platform where she starts fainting. So her friend Lalita Sakhi, she hurries to get some fresh water from Yamuna. Now, as soon as she reached Yamuna, she saw a beautiful swan which is traveling downstream towards Mathura. So she asked the swan to carry a message of Krishna informing that Srimati Radharani is in a great plight and she is literally suffering a separation from Krishna. Now the swan inquires that how do I recognize Krishna? So Lalita Devi said that as soon as you'll go to Mathura, you will see him surrounded by some certain devotees like Akrura, who will be talking to the Lord. And you will find another devotee like Uddhava, who would be massaging the Lord's lotus feet. You know, so this is how you'll recognize that who Krishna is. So thus, Rupa Goswami says that this example of Akrura and Uddhava, they are enjoying, these devotees are enjoying Krishna's association constantly. So that yoga, that connection is known as sthiti, that they have constant association with Krishna without any separation, day and night. Okay, so this is what the example of sthiti, tushti and siddhi is being explained. Now comes text number 57. रुद्ध अधिरुद्ध भाव केवल मधुरे महिषि गणेर रुद्ध अधिरुद्ध गोपन गोपिका निकरे. Only in the conjugal mellow are there two ecstatic symptoms called Ruddha and Adhiruddha, advanced and highly advanced. The advanced ecstasy are found among the queens of Dwarka and highly advanced ecstasies are found among the gopis. So now again, we are discussed now Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bringing Sanatana Goswami on to the point of Madhurya Bhava. And so we saw the divisions, subdivisions of Prema, right? Sneha, Mana, Pranaya, Raga, Anuraga, Bhava and Mahabhava. So he is bringing Sanatana Goswami on to the level of Mahabhava and explaining that what happens on the platform of Mahabhava stage. So he's saying at Mahabhava stage, the two ecstatic symptoms are there. First is Ruddha, which is known as advanced, which is normally found in the queens of Dwarka. And the other is Adhiruddha, which is highly advanced, which is found among gopis. But actually, what is Ruddha and what is Adhiruddha? So that is being explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. And he says that when all eight Sattvika Bhava. Remember when we were discussing about Sattvika Bhava, I mentioned about those eight Sattvika Bhavas because I told that we'll be referring to these eight Sattvika Bhavas in the future verses. So these eight Sattvika Bhavas, from these eight Sattvika Bhavas, when five or six are simultaneously fully manifested, five or six, not all eight. Only five or six are simultaneously, all together, when they fully manifest, but rest of them partially manifest, that is known as Ruddha Mahabhava, which is normally seen among the queens of Dwarka. But in Adhiruddha Mahabhava, when all the eight Sattvika Bhavas are completely and to the utmost extent they manifest, and that culminates in a unique experience, it is called Adhiruddha Mahabhava, which can be only seen among the gopis of Vrindavan. Right? So, again repeat, Ruddha is from those eight Sattvika Bhavas when five or six are simultaneously manifest, but rest, you know, they'll partially manifest. That is Ruddha Mahabhava. But when all the Sattvika Bhavas, when they are on to the complete state and utmost extent, when all of them simultaneously manifest, and not only manifest, they bring a unique experience, that is known as Adhiruddha Mahabhava. Now, text number 58 says that Adhiruddha Mahabhava, that is highly advanced ecstasy, ecstasy is divided into two categories. One is Madana and the other is Mohana. Madana means union, meeting together, and Mohana means separation. Now to this, Srila Rupa Goswami says, I'm so sorry, I just want to make up the point that it's already 11:59, but I already took permission from Preeti Vilasini Mataji. She said that I can go to a little extent, maybe 12:20 or 12:30, so that I can complete till what we read till yesterday. So kindly bear with me and we'll continue with it. Right? Okay. So Adhiruddha Mahabhava has two points, right? That's what it's explained in text number 58. That is Mohana, Madana and Mohana. Meeting together is Madana and separation is Mohana. But Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, he says that Adhiruddha Mahabhava has two forms, Modana and Madana. Instead of Mohana, he is mentioning Modana, which is separation, and Madana, which is union. But he is saying when the modana becomes uncontrolled, right? Adirudha Bhava has two forms. As per Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is mentioning in the word Mohana and Madana. Madana is union and he is referring the word Mohana as separation. But Rupa Goswami Pad is mentioning that even Mohana, before Mohana, there is a stage known as Madana. So Madana and Modana. Madana is union. But instead of Mohana, he is mentioning Modana. But he is mentioning when all those eight sattvika bhavas, when the candidate of that Modana becomes condition of that Modana becomes uncontrolled and paralyzed in separation, then that stage is known as Mohana. Right? So there is Modana and Madana. Rupa Goswami says Modana and Madana. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying is Mohana and Madana. But Mohana is a stage when the Madana, the separation stage becomes, you know, the separation stage, it becomes uncontrolled and paralyzed. That is the stage of Mohana. That is what it manifests and it comes out to be as Mohana. So just want to explain this. Now, text number 59 says, I'll just read the translation.
Mataji, please. Once more, Mataji, the three, Madana, Mohana, Modana. Can you please do that once more?
Okay. Yeah. So, this is a little confusing, but try to understand that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in text number 58, he says, that highly advanced ecstasy, that means Adiruddha Mahabhava, that is divided into two categories, Madana and Mohana, right? So Madana means union, meeting together, and Mohana means separation. But to this, Srila Rupa Goswami says that even coming on to the platform of Mohana, you have to cross one another platform, which is Madana. So he is saying Modana. Madana is union. Both of them are saying Madana is union. But instead of Mohana, Rupa Goswami is saying Modana. Modana means separation. And he is saying when this separation becomes uncontrolled and paralyzed, then this Modana stage is converted into Mohana stage, which is being referred by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Madana remains same. Madana means union. It's only the matter of Modana and Mohana. So Modana is a separation from Krishna. But when the Modana stage becomes paralyzed or uncontrolled, separation is there from Krishna, then that stage is known as Mohana. Right? So now we'll go to text number 59, where it says that on the Madana platform, that is on the union platform, there are kissing and many other symptoms which are unlimited, which of course we'll not go into it. But in the Mohana stage, there are two divisions, that is unsteadiness, Udghurna, and Chitrajalpa, that is varieties of mad emotional talks. Right? So in Mohana stage, there is two divisions, Udghurna, that is unsteadiness is there, and Chitrajalpa, varieties of mad emotional talks. Now this mad emotional talks is described in text number 60, where it says that mad emotional talks include 10 divisions, which are called Prajalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Arajalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, and Sujalpa. These are the 10 verses which were spoken by Srimati Radharani into the song of the bumblebee. So we'll go into it now. So this is mentioned in Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, from verse number 12 to 21. These are the verses in which all these 10 divisions of Mohana stage Mohana Adiruddha Bhava state is being mentioned by Srimati Radharani. And as we all know, that it is the name of Srimati Radharani was never spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami. So here he refers Srimati Radharani as with the the gopi said, right? So he used the word gopi. Just gopi, he said. But this is actually Srimati Radharani. Actually, Srila Prabhupada uses this word. Okay. Actually, in text 11, it's mentioned that Srimati Radharani is referred into this verse as Kachit, a certain gopi. Right? That's what Srila Prabhupada is making up the point. But this is, though it's meaning a certain gopi, but actually it is totally referred to our beloved Srimati Radharani. So we all know that how, when they were suffering in the pangs of separation, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, and then when Uddhava came to console the gopis, actually as soon as he came, the gopis actually saw Uddhava, but Srimati Radharani pretended that she is talking to bumblebee. She is not talking to Uddhava, she is talking to a bumblebee. So that is what the song of a bumblebee is. So here in all those verses, every verse have a different form of this Mohana stage, right? So this is the Chitra Jalpa, I told you, right? Imaginative mad talks that Srimati Radharani is making. So we'll just go with the translation. It says that a gopi said, "Oh honeybee, oh friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkuma that rubbed into Krishna's garland, and it was crushed by the breast of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the woman of Mathura, who has sent a messenger like you. You will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly." So this is, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a point that this speech, the way, Srimati Radharani is talking to a bumblebee as a messenger is, the stage of Prajalpa, the first one, the first, Chitra Jalpa, or the first imaginative mad talk we saw, the category. The first is Prajalpa. This is a speech that brings the tastelessness of one's lover with an expression of disrespect, because she's disrespecting. Don't even come near to me. Don't even touch my lotus feet with your whiskers. This is spoken in the mood of envy and jealousy and pride. So this is what is Prajalpa is. The next verse, it says, Prajalpa, yeah. So this Prajalpa, actually, it says that this is spoken with a gesture of envy, jealousy, and pride in the mood of. Now, the next verse is, after making us drink the enchanting nectar of his lips, only once Krishna suddenly abandoned us. And just as you might quickly abandon some flowers, how is it that the goddess Padma, that is goddess Lakshmi, willingly serves his lotus feet? The answer must certainly be that her mind has been stolen away by his deceitful words. So now she is saying to Bumblebee that just as you, from one flower to another flower, you go, right? So similarly, you abandon one flower. Once you have taken the nectar from that flower, you don't go back to that flower. So similarly, Krishna has now abandoned us. He tasted, we all tasted the enchanting nectar of his lips, and now, Krishna has abandoned us. But I don't understand why goddess Lakshmi is still continuously serving his lotus feet. Anyway, maybe because her mind has been stolen away by the deceitful words of Krishna. So that is what she is saying. So Rupa Goswami Pad is saying that this is the speech of next, that is Parijalpa. This is the speech to which she shows her cleverness, her own cleverness, by mercilessness, duplicity, and unrelatability onto the Lord. She is not relying on the Lord. And moreover, she is saying, I don't know how come goddess fortune or the goddess of Lakshmi is still serving, though she knows that, you know, that Krishna is just like a bee who goes from one flower to another, but still she is serving, maybe because she has been bound by the deceitful words of Krishna. So this is the speech of Parijalpa. The next is Vijalpa. She says, "Oh, bee, why do you think here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us? We are just the homeless people. These topics are not for us. Better you sing about your Krishna, the friend of Arjuna, in front of those new girlfriends that he has made in Mathura, the burning desire of whose breast he is now relieving it. So those ladies will surely give you some charity, but here singing in front of me is of no use." So this, Rupa Goswami says, that this is the kind of vijalpa. This is a kind of a sarcastic speech. Actually, Rupa Goswami in Ujjvala Neelamani, this has all been referred by Ujjvala Neelamani, and it says that this is a sarcastic speech that is addressed to Krishna, where openly jealousy has been hinted that, yes, she is jealous of all those girls, of all those queens of Dwarka and Mathura, and so she is sending the bees, that the bumblebee, you better go there and explain, because their lust has been relieved by Krishna. Now their lust is gone because Krishna has really served their lust. So better go and say all those glories of Krishna to them, not to me, because here there is no use. So this is a kind of vijalpa. The next is ujalpa, where jealousy grown out of pride is this being described. She is saying, in heaven or earth or in any other place, what women are unavailable to him? He simply arcs his eyebrows and smiles with his deceptive charm, and they all are attractive to him. The Supreme Goddess herself worships the dust of his feet. So what is our position in comparison? So she is saying that we are nothing in comparison to that Supreme Lord Lakshmi, because to get girls for Krishna, it's not difficult. He can just move his eyebrows, say some beautiful words, and everybody will be deceptive and charmed by his words, and everybody will come to him. So he doesn't need us. So why you are coming here and, you know, saying those glories? So better go away. So again, Rupa Goswami in Ujjvala Neelamani says that this is a kind of ujjalpa that is it's spoken with insult as well as jealousy. Insult to the Supreme Lord. But, you know, this is the kind of ujjalpa that Radharani is depicting. Next is sanjalpa. She's saying, keep your head off my feet. I know what you are doing. You expertly learned that diplomatic things from Mukunda. And now you have come like his messenger. And with flattering words you are coming to me. But he abandoned those for whose sake alone gave up their children, husbands, and other relationships. He is simply ungrateful. Why should I make up with him now? So now Radharani is saying that, oh, bumblebee, you are trying to pacify me that I should go and make up with Krishna, but why should I do it? He has become so ungrateful. We left our children, we left our family, we left our husbands, we left our all relationships just to have that loving affairs with Mukunda, with that Krishna, and now he has abandoned us, and now he's being so simply ungrateful, but now you are coming and telling me so that I can have that makeup or catch up with Krishna. I'm not going to do that. So she's saying, now Rupa Goswami is saying that this is a kind of sanjalpa in which Sri Radhika is using harsh and slashing words for his beloved. And she is saying that he is so ungrateful. This is the speech of sanjalpa. In the next, she is saying, like a hunter, he cruelly shot the king of the monkeys. We know how he shot. So she is saying that how he shot Vali when your supreme lord came as Ramachandra with arrows. He was a kshatriya, right? Why he shot him like a hunter? He would have come right in front of him and fought with Vali. But he did it, you know, just like a hunter hiding behind some trees, and he shot it. And because he was conquered by a woman, he disfigured another woman. So she is saying that how Lord Ramachandra was so much attracted to Mother Sita, and because of that attraction to Mother Sita, he disfigured Shuknakha, the other, because he cut down her nose, right? So because of his having lusty desires with Mother Sita, he disfigured the other woman. And even after consuming the gifts of Bali Maharaj as Vamana Dev, he bound him with the ropes as if he was just a crow. So, you know, Bali Maharaj, he gave everything, and finally he gave himself. Instead of being grateful, he actually bound him with the ropes and threw him in that Patala Loka. So what is the use of all this friendship with him? We cannot be just, even if we can't give up, you know, she's saying that there is no use of having friendship with that dark complexion boy. But still, you know, we can't give up talking about him. So this is, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and, of course, Srila Rupa Goswami in Ujjwalamani says that this is a kind of a love which is impelled by jealousy, of course, fear, which declares that Lord Hari is unworthy of any kind of attachment. And so she is using all those harshness, lustiness and dishonesty. All these things is being depicted in her speech, and this is known as Avajalpa. But still, the tricky thing is that still her heart is being stolen by that dark complexion boy, because she can't give up talking of him. Though she is using all those harsh words, but still, you know, the essence is that she is talking of him. Like Srila Prabhupada says, when the reporter came and they saw they are writing, Prabhupada, they are writing all ill things about Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada says, that's okay, at least they are saying Hare Krishna. Even if they are talking all ill about it, but they are saying and they are writing, you know, they are publishing in newspaper the word Hare Krishna. So this is what, you know, the case of, you know, that though her speech is full of harshness and lustiness, but still, you know, she is saying that I cannot give up talking about him. But still, I don't want to keep any kind of friendship with him. So this is Avajalpa. So next is this. She is saying, oh, to hear about the pastimes that Krishna regularly performs, of course, is a nectar for the ears. And those who relish just a single drop of that nectar, the material duality of them is renewed. Many such persons have suddenly given up their wretched homes and families, and they travel to Vrindavan to wander like birds begging for their living. So Ujjwala Neela Mani describes that this is a kind of Abhijalpa speech. Why? When a lover indirectly states that her beloved is fit to be given up, you know, like a plaintive crying of a bird, that is called Abhijalpa. The next is, eighth is Ajalpa. Ajalpa is faithfully taking his deceitful words as true. We became just like a black deer's foolish wife who trusts the cruel hunter's song. Thus we repeatedly felt the sharp pain of lust caused by the touch of his nails. O messenger, please talk about something else besides Krishna. So here Srimati Radharani is saying that he is so deceitful that we don't want to trust his words. But still we trusted. We trusted every time. Even in the dark, in the night, in the, you know, midnight of the dark forest, you know, he used to call, he used to go, and then he would say, why have you come? Better go home. You know, this is the kind of reciprocation that he gives to us. So why we should follow his words? But still, I don't know why we are following, though we are always receiving that sharp pain we are getting in our heart because of this deceitful word. But still, you know, we are always seeking for his company. But, oh, messenger, oh, bumblebee, can you please talk about something else besides Krishna? Because I don't want to talk about Krishna. So Ujjwala Neela Mani says that this is a statement spoken in disgust, describing how the male lover is deceitful and brings misery to one's heart. So this is the kind of a speech which is known as Ajalpa. The ninth one is Pratijalpa. Pratijalpa, in this condition, Sri Radhika Rani says that I cannot live a moment without the company of that, sorry, in this condition, Sri Radhika says that this Lord cannot live in the without a moment in the company of all those Maikas, all those mistresses. So what she says, oh friend, oh bumblebee, she is referring to, oh my dear one, has my beloved sent you here again? I should honor you, friend. So please choose whatever boon you want from me. But why have you come back here and take us to him, whose conjugal love is so difficult to give up? She's saying, don't come here and don't tell me to patch up with Krishna, because Krishna is happy with all those Mathuravasis, girls of Mathura and girls of Dwarka, because he just cannot give up that conjugal lusty desires or love that he has with Dwarka people and Mathura people. So why have you come here and telling me to patch up with Krishna? I'm not going to do that, because your Lord is not ready to give up. After all, gentle bee, his consort is Goddess Shri, and she is always with him, staying upon his chest. So she is saying that he always have that Goddess of Lakshmi, who is always there on his chest, massaging his lotus feet, so he doesn't need us. So forget about it. So this is a kind of prati jalpa. When the lover humbly states that although she is unworthy of attaining that her beloved, but still she cannot give up hoping that conjugal relationship with him. So this is the, you know, Srimati Radhika Rani, in this way, she gives up her harsh feelings and humbly acknowledges that, yes, I cannot give up that relationship. I cannot give up my conjugal relationship with Krishna, but Krishna doesn't need me. He is happy with Goddess of Lakshmi, who is always massaging his lotus feet and always present on his chest. So this is the speech which is known as Prati Jalpa. And last is Sujalpa. Sujalpa here is saying that it is indeed regrettable that Krishna resides in Mathura. Then she is asking, does he remember his father's household affairs, his friends, his coward boys? Does he ever talk about us, his maid servants? When will he lay our head, when will he lay on our head his agru scented hand? So this is Rupa Goswami says that with honest sincerity, with the questions, now she is with utmost humility, unsteadiness and eagerness, you know, in her speech, she is telling that, oh, does he really remember how Mother Yashoda was taking care of Krishna, how Nand Maharaj was, giving his life for Krishna, and how cowherd boys were playing with Krishna, and does he remember us who were serving Krishna just like a maid servant? You know, does he ever talk about us? And then she said, I don't know when the time will come when we'll have the association of Krishna, when he will lay his agru-scented hand on our head. So now with utmost humility, she is confessing that I cannot live without Krishna. And I'm still longing to have association with Krishna, to meet with Krishna. And this is the last Chitra-jalpa speech, which is Su-jalpa. So, and finally, the text number 61 today, which says that Udgurna, unsteadiness, and that is Vivasha Chesta, boastful activities are the aspects of transcendental madness. And in separation from Krishna, one experiences the manifestation of Krishna and one thinks oneself to be Krishna. So, frankly speaking, I was not able to find anything related to this verse. And just only thing what I remember from my past studies is that how, you know, when Krishna was not there in Vrindavan, how the gopis and how Srimati Radharani, they'll enact all the pastimes of Krishna. And sometimes they'll become Krishna and they'll say, oh, I am Krishna, and do this and do that. They'll basically enact. One of the gopi will become Krishna and the other will be the gopi. And then Srimati Radharani will become as Krishna and other will become gopi. So this is how they'll enact those pastimes. So this has been mentioned. That's what, you know, I came to know and I got it. But otherwise, you know, not in detail about this mention that what is Udgurna. It is, of course, unsteadiness, but what is this Vivashta Chesta, that is a boastful activity. So the point here is that this basically, even if when they are enacting the pastimes of Krishna, they are always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And they just want, they'll become Krishna and they'll boast themselves that I am Krishna. But still, you know, the essence and the underlying message is that they will always, 24/7, be always thoughtful in consciousness of Krishna. Thank you all so much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Rupa Goswami ki jai, Shri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur ki jai.
Hari
bol. We did it.
Hari bol. You need to drink some water and have something really, really nice. Begin your meal with some. It was so good. It was so good. I mean, I was just waiting for this session for so long. Thank you for dissecting through all these verses and giving us some idea about what Mahaprabhu is trying to say in these verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is very high. We really don't understand the, you know, these topmost rasas and all that. But still, when it is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should know at least what Mahaprabhu was intending to say. And you really helped with this. I'm sure just with us reading individually, we would haven't have gone anywhere. But thanks to you, we are so grateful beyond words, because you took all the effort to read from Nectar of Devotion, Ujjvala Neelamani, and so many other places, and you quoted so beautifully and explained, dissected them. You've done a PhD study, seriously. This was amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So grateful to you as always. And we will, of course, since we have streamed the verses as well, we'll put it on YouTube in a while so that people can follow it along with the verses. And I will also take snapshot of the notes of whatever you spoke and I'll send it, which I also wrote down, so that people can understand what actually these verses in chapter 23 mean with your classes. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you again so much. I just have, let me not take much time, but then a few questions. These are not questions from a realization standpoint, just from the split up of the verses. That's how the questions are. My first question will be from the last verse that you read, Udgurna and Vishwasachetasa. Okay, Vishwasachetasa. So Udgurna itself is divided into two parts, which is Udgurna and Vishwasachetasa, is it?
Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, first of all, for your kind words. Really don't deserve it. But yes, grateful to you because you gave me quite a lot of time this time to prepare. So I got almost 4 to 5 days to prepare for this session, which was really, thank you so much. And yes, for your question, as you said, I really was not able to find, not even the Nectar of Devotion, neither in Ujjvala Neelamani, that what actually this is the division of Udgurna, or this is just, you know, in addition to what, you know, it's been said. So for this, I really have to search more, or even if you all can help me. But I really can't comment on this, that this is the, you know, division of Udgurna. But it's just mentioned that this is unsteadiness and vivasya chesta, that is boastful activity. Boastful activity means they are boasting, the gopis boast themselves, that, oh, I am Krishna, you know, in that sense. But again, it's an aspect of transcendental madness that is not mentioned by Prabhupada, but they really don't know anything about.
Okay. So we'll just name a transcendental madness. And I think whatever it's unmadana, right? Okay. So then the other question was, so when we use the terms rati and rasa, because we say about the relationships, we also sometimes say rati, we also sometimes say, you know, sakya rasa, vatsalya rasa, like that. So is there any distinction?
Yeah, actually, the word is rati, like madhurya rati. This is an affection. Rati means affection. Right. Mm. But once one relationship is established, then that is what is known as rasa. Then one comes on to the platform of madhurya rasa or vatsalya rasa. But otherwise, when that affection is developed in any of them, then it is known as madhurya rati or sakya rati, right, or dasya rati.
So basically, the initial stages of affection, we use the term rati, and once it's firmly established, it's the term rasa.
Yes, then it is known as rasa.
Relationships. For all the five relationships.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you for that. Because I thought that was important. That is very nice. Thank you, Mataji. So these were the two questions. And I know your notes will be better, actually. I have also made these as you were talking. So if you can also share your notes, that will also be good if you have written it down.
No, my notes are like I have written down as such. It was in my shorthand way.
Okay.
I just made it. Yeah.
Okay. So then I'll just send these across for people who are interested, and we'll put it along with the YouTube. Okay. So thank you. Something I was waiting for. Thank you, Mataji. Krishna. All glories to
yourself. So just found one thing that it says that the divine intoxication, that is Divya Unmad. That is actually divided into two, Udghurna and Chitrajalpa. And Chitrajalpa we discussed. But Udghurna is just established that it is just the unsteadiness.
Okay. But Udghurna is a part of Mohana, right?
Of course. The Divya Unmad. You know, when when this extent of Mohana comes, then, you know, we read about, right? Mohana and Madana. Madana is, again, union. But Mohana is separation. So when this Mohana, this is known as when Mohana reaches up to its climax, then it is known as Divya Unmad.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
So translate
divine madness. When Mohana reaches its climax, it is known as divine madness, which is known as Divya Unmad. This Divya Unmad is into two parts, that is Udghurna and Chitrajanta. That is unsteadiness and imaginative, mad emotional talk.
So this chain has stopped here, or it's going to continue like this after this? No,
this is now, till that it is stopped, but from text 62 it says now all the rasas have, sambhoga and vipralamba. Now this will start, Sambhoga and Vipralamba. This has also been described extensively in Nectar Devotion.
Okay, so then we have to wait for another 2 weeks for you to come back. Okay. Thank you, Mataji, and I'll let others speak. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions or comments, or is everyone in
Hare Krishna Mataji?
I'm ecstasy.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, it is very, very technical, especially for me. I can understand something, but there's a lot of things to do again and again here and also analyze. But you really did a very, very good job, Mataji. We can hear again and again these verses from you, and I can understand Mataji later on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji. I know it's highly technical, highly philosophical. And, that's why all the speakers were just not touching this point. And even I was a little reluctant, hesitant in talking about this. But, Chita Vilasini Mataji really inspired me that I should go into this subject matter. And that's why I did. But I know this class was highly philosophical. Even for me, it was not easy to prepare. But
Mataji, you should do, Mataji, because you can break down the everything, When we read ourselves, and mostly devotees don't talk this subject matter, and we can have to go all this Rupa Goswami's Prabhu's book and then go. We don't have time, but it's very good, Mataji, you did for us. It's really grateful, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful session, Mataji. So big class, Mataji. So big. And yeah, Mataji, as Ajana Gopika Mataji said, it's very, very difficult to understand even for my kids. But I was attentively hearing, maybe it will be useful, Mataji. Like, if I hear and hear, I will understand, Mataji. But most of the time, it was so deep into the philosophy, right? It was so nice. Yeah, Mataji, we have to hear many times, so then we will understand it, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji. Yeah, actually, this all from Nectar of Devotion that we were reading. It was above from Bhakti Shastri level also. It was from Bhakti Vaibhav, because the rest of the chapters of Nectar of Devotion that comes in Bhakti Vaibhav, it was all from there. I know the class is philosophical. Sorry for it, but at the same time, as J.T. Vilasa was mentioning, that we should know subject matters here and there. At least we should know some glimpse of it. Maybe not all the technical terms, it's not possible. But here and there, we should know actually what the philosophy is all about. Yeah, but thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, so there are no more questions and comments from the end.
Thank you for all the effort that you have put in. And this is something that will stay forever. So be assured that lots of people are going to be benefited by this session. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so let's offer up.
వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృంద కీ జయ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ చైతన్య శరణం కృపా కీ జయ హర్ గ్రేస్ కీర్తిదా సుందరి మాతజీ కీ
గౌర భక్తులందు కీ జయ
హరే కృష్ణ
హరే కృష్ణ